This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. At the core of what lies in our hearts is sincerity. We need to be sincere with God and with ourselves.
Nations are fighting all over the world. Give us love and peace, O Lord. Children are dying of hunger and war. Give us love and peace, O Lord. Nations are fighting for prestige and rule. Give us love and peace, O Lord. Freedom is no longer not existing. Give us love and peace, O Lord.
Eighth Sunday in Ordinary Time.
A reading from the Book of Sirach. When a sieve is shaken, the husks appear. So do one's faults when one speaks. As the test of what the potter molds is in the furnace, so in tribulation is the test of the just. The fruit of a tree shows the care it has had. So too does one's speech disclose the bent of one's mind. Praise no one before he speaks, for it is then that people are tested. The word of the Lord.
Lord, it is good to give thanks to you.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, when this which is corruptible clothes itself with incorruptibility, and this which is mortal clothes itself with immortality, then the word that is written shall come about. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, steadfast, always fully devoted to the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher. But when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite! Remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. for people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection, here is Father Enobong.
The quality of the content of our hearts is what makes us relevant or irrelevant to our society. This expression of our thoughts comes in the form of words and deeds. A personality that deserves praise is that which spreads goodness and makes life meaningful. The faithfulness of those who follow the teachings of Christ is expressed in concrete reality through their words and deeds. There are many who profess faith in Christ, who claim to follow his teachings, but at the same time, their ways of life are conflicting with Christ's teachings. Every Christian who professes faith in Christ is expected to be exemplary in words and deeds. This is a calling that we cannot shy away from, because we are members of the body of Christ. It is only by our good fruits that the world will know that we are his. Christ the good tree cannot bear bad fruit. The fruit of our conversion and our life in Christ must be seen. How do we justify our life in Christ if the fruits we bear are contrary to what Christ preached and lived? We Christians cannot be found wanting in promoting acts that will bring peace to our immediate communities and the world at large. When the heart is filled with pride, anger, and violence, it is difficult to cultivate peace. As we bear the good fruits motivated by our participation in the life of Christ, let us pray for the grace to continue to cultivate goodness in all that we do and then teach others to do the same. And may the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Father Hilary Munyaneza, Father Enobong Daidion contributed to the program. I am Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in for our bulletin of church news and later the world around us, all about our environment.
Marie, Mère de Dieu, et Joseph, son époux, Joachim et Anne, Jean-Baptiste, le précurseur. Du Seigneur.
I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime with a bulletin of church news. The Holy See Press Office issued an update on Pope Francis's health condition on Saturday morning, saying that the Holy Father had spent a peaceful night and was resting. The update followed Friday's disturbing development when medical doctors administered artificial breathing support to the Pope after he experienced a sudden tightening of the muscles in the walls of the airwaves, which worsened his breathing difficulties. Pope Francis was admitted to Gemelli Catholic Hospital in Rome on February 14th for pneumonia. Since then, Catholics worldwide have been gathering in designated places to pray for him. Here in the Vatican, the faithful have been gathering every evening in St. Peter's Square to pray for the Pope. We have a report on the prayer service held on Friday.
And please, do not forget to pray for me. Those are the words that Pope Francis has addressed time and time again to the groups he meets with. The evening, February 28th, they resonated in the hearts of the faithful who gathered in St. Peter's Square to unite in prayer for the Pope's health. Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, prefect of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, led the faithful in the recitation of the Rosary. Cardinals, priests, nuns, and lay faithful from different corners of the world had gathered, with one group waving a Brazilian flag. The people of God, in all its different expressions, united their voices in a single melody of faith, meditating on the sorrowful mysteries. From the Gospel passage to the Our Father, followed by the decades of the Hail Marys, the prayer was interspersed with moments of silence, filled with devotion. Eyes were closed in deep contemplation, or open and fixed on a Marian icon, whose light seemed to embrace the faithful. Christ before Pilate, the scourging and the crowning with thorns, followed by the path to Calvary, and finally, the cross. This turmoil was reflected in the night sky over Rome, where, however, darkness will eventually give way to the blessed hope. That hope is light, like the golden reflection on the facade of St. Peter's or the torches held by some of the faithful. It is the goal, Cardinal Fernandez said, towards which the faithful walk together, hoping to remain united even as, at the end of the Rosary, each one made their separate way home. I am Edoardo Giribaldi.
In a related development, Buddhist monks in the Sri Lankan capital Colombo gathered this week to pray for Pope Francis. The Holy Father visited their temple in 2015. We have a report.
The special Puja ritual at the Arashravaka Temple in Sri Lanka's capital, Colombo, took place before a picture of Pope Francis when he visited the temple in January 2015. The monks of the Mahabodhi community offered flowers and drinks to the Buddha, paused in meditation and recited passages from the scriptures of their faith. Together with a group of believers, they gathered in meditation and prayer for the Pope's health. The ceremony was also attended by Father Jude Krishanta Fernando, head of the communications of the Episcopal Conference of Sri Lanka, and two of his brother priests. The monks, Father Fernando explained, offered flowers and water to the Buddha, meditated and recited verses from their scriptures, asking for his guidance, for wisdom and compassion. Describing it as a very moving moment, Father Fernando said the gathering of the monks was a spontaneous gesture. The Pope's humble presence here 10 years ago left a special impression, he said, in the hearts of our Buddhist friends. Concluding, Father Fernando said, "We were very touched by this spontaneous gesture." Pope Francis, he added, with his attitude of dialogue and sincere fraternity towards all, left a legacy of empathy and closeness that we still feel here today and that is reflected in a fruitful way in our relations with Buddhists and with other faith communities. I'm Linda Bordoni.
The Vatican Secretary for Relations with the States and the International Organizations, Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, has again reiterated the Holy See's position that Palestinians have a right to live in peace and in a state that is theirs and over which they have the power to administer. Archbishop Gallagher made the remarks a few days ago in an interview with a Jesuit magazine known as America. Christopher Wales reports.
Despite the devastation and the ruins that it is in, Gaza is still home to Palestinians who for generations have been born and lived their lives there, who want to remain there, and who want to rebuild their lives there. That's according to Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations, in the first part of a long interview with Jesuit magazine America. Responding to a question about U.S. President Donald Trump's proposal to resettle Palestinians from the Gaza Strip elsewhere, Archbishop Gallagher said, "The Holy See has always maintained a position regarding forced migration. We do not believe this to be the correct road to pursue in resolving any form of problem, whether it's war or conflict or anything else." He recalled that many of today's Palestinians or their closest ancestors had already been forced to leave their properties from other parts of the Holy Land. "It's not right to say they're a problem," Archbishop Gallagher insisted. "They're people, they're human beings, and we have to try and act in a way that is respectful of them, of their dignity as human beings, and understand the tremendous suffering that they have been through and that they're going through day in and day out." In the face of such a proposal of resettlement, the Archbishop said, "one is just lost for words." He reiterated that the Holy See continues to call for a two-state solution, one Israeli and one Palestinian state. Archbishop Gallagher said the Holy See continues to support a full ceasefire, the release of all the hostages, the protection of civilians and full respect for international law, the reconstruction of Gaza, the stabilization of the situation in the West Bank, and respect for the Palestinian people who are there. Finally, he said, "We do believe that the resolution of the Palestinian question is at the heart of so many of the problems of the Middle East, whether it's Syria, Lebanon, or elsewhere in the region." I'm Christopher Wells.
Catholic bishops in the Democratic Republic of Congo have expressed concern over rising violations of the freedom of movement in the country. This follows a brief detention on Wednesday of the Secretary General of the Bishops' Conference, Monsignor Donatien Nsholi, at Luano International Airport in Lubumbashi when he was returning from a peace meeting in the Tanzanian city of Dar es Salaam. His passport was also confiscated. Monsignor Nsholi was traveling with the president of the National Episcopal Conference of Congo, Archbishop Fulgence Mugalu. A statement issued by the Bishops' Conference on Friday condemned what it called an attempt to violate the freedom of movement of a church leader. It emphasized that such provocations do not support the search for peace and social cohesion. The bishops of Congo are trying their best to mediate peace talks between the Congolese government and M23 rebels who and their allies have already captured two major cities in the eastern part of the country and are advancing on other areas. In a related development, on Saturday, M23 rebels handed to the government of Rwanda a notorious Rwandan national, Ezekiel Gatwerere, who took part in the 1994 genocide in which over 800,000 people, most of them ethnic Tutsis, were killed. Gatwerere was arrested in Goma, where he was organizing and leading hundreds of Hutu rebels who were fighting to overthrow the government of Rwanda. But in this case, they were fighting alongside Congolese government forces against M23 rebels. He is believed to have shot and killed Rwanda's last Queen Rosalie Gikanda during the genocide. Gatwerere was arrested with dozens of his fighters, who were also handed over to the government of Rwanda on Saturday. All of them, including Gatwerere, were dressed in army uniforms, dotted with the colors of the national flag of the Democratic Republic of Congo. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the World Around Us, news about our environment I am Festus Tarawali. The extended session of the parties to the Global Biodiversity Conference, or COP16, ended in Rome this week following an agreement on outstanding issues. The negotiators at the resumed session of the UN Biodiversity Conference agreed on key commitments on funds needed and the institutions through which the funds will be channeled to protect the world's biodiversity. The countries agreed on how they will contribute $200 billion a year by 2030 that was committed in principle at an earlier meeting in Montreal, Canada. The three-day meeting at the headquarters of the Food and Agriculture Organization followed the COP16 talks in Cali, Colombia, which concluded in November. Earlier this week, the countries also agreed to create the Cali Fund, which will create methods for industries that commercially benefit from biodiversity to contribute to its conservation. Scientists say biodiversity, that is, the variety of plant and animal life in the world, is essential for maintaining balanced ecosystems, providing clean air, water, and food, while supporting climate resilience. Pope Francis, in his encyclical letter Laudato Si and in his apostolic exhortation Laudate Deum, called for the protection of biodiversity. In the latter, he discusses how the climate crisis is affecting the survival of many species. In an interview on the 22nd May, World Biodiversity Day last year, David Cooper, the current Deputy Executive Secretary of the UN Convention on Biological Diversity, warned that without immediate action to protect biodiversity, a million species could be at risk. UN News' Anton Uspensky began by asking him how he feels about the current state of nature.
This is a very good question. Biodiversity is under threat. Biodiversity, the diversity of plants, animals, microorganisms, interactions between these is incredibly important. It underpins really the function of ecosystems, which then deliver for us food, clean water. It helps also to protect us against natural disasters. Unfortunately, we are losing biodiversity. We've been losing biodiversity over the last 50 years at greater rates than ever before. And this is due to a range of factors. The biggest driver of biodiversity loss, particularly on land, is land use change. And in turn, obviously, food and agricultural systems are important there. Also, development, urbanization, and so on. And related to that, fragmentation as we build highways and other communication infrastructure. The next biggest is overexploitation, particularly in the ocean, so overfishing, but also overhunting and overharvesting of plants as well on land. Climate change is increasingly a threat, and the scientific projections suggest that in the decades to come, it will become the biggest threat, in fact. And other problems are caused by pollution, a whole range of issues there, including from the overuse of nutrients, so overuse of fertilizers, but also waste from cities, pesticides, and now increasingly, of course, plastic pollution. And then finally, invasive alien species, so species in the wrong place where they may, through trade or travel, be moved from one place to another, where they don't have their natural predators or other natural enemies, and they can disrupt ecosystems.
Out of those species that are under threat, which are of the most concern?
It tends to be the larger organisms that are particularly under threat, so large mammals in particular, partly because they need large areas in the landscape. And so as the landscape gets converted or fragmented, they're influenced, but also because they may be the target of hunting or consumption and so on. But increasingly, we're seeing a whole range of species become threatened. Particularly threatened right now are amphibians, particularly in a number of tropical areas, through a combination of, again, land use change, climate change, but also disease that spreads from one part of the world to another. And affects populations that are not immune, that don't have the immunity to these diseases. Another major category that's really threatened are coral reefs. If we're thinking of a sort of community or ecosystem, one of the most threatened because of climate change interacting with coastal development, overfishing and the like. And as temperatures increase, become more and more threatened. And in fact, this is one of the emblematic groups in looking at climate action. We're losing coral reefs through coral bleaching and other problems related to climate change. With 1.5 degrees change, coral reefs are going to be severely harmed. But with 2 degrees change or more, the projections are they could be wiped out for many, many parts of the world. Beyond there, now we're seeing many insect species also being threatened, for instance, and some of these are really important. For example, pollinators that are responsible for pollinating our most nutritious crops, the fruits and the vegetables, those that contribute to our diets. Already for those animal pollinated crops, the yield potential, the production potential is a third less than it would be because of declines in the abundance and in the diversity of pollinators. So the IPBES, the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, they estimate that unless we take action urgently, a million species could be threatened.
That was David Cooper, the current Deputy Executive Secretary of the UN Convention on Biological Diversity, speaking there to Anton Uspensky. And that's all for this edition. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear a bulletin of church news and our feature, The Family. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.